From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
Welcome back to part two of an alleged news programme, which wasn't an alleged news programme, which might be in part two, maybe.
Here is the news, ladies and gentlemen.
Here is the news, read by Alvar Dedell.
Have we got another guest?
You don't even know who that is, you Luddite.
I do.
He makes hairspray.
He does.
Oh. That's Fidel Sassoon.
And he used to make paint, didn't he? Valspar.
Oh.
Yes.
Luddites. The government in the UK is bailing out the passport office again. Because they've got something like a backlog of 500,000 applicants for passports at the minute. Passport staff are being paid £70 an hour to tackle the problem.
No.
Unbelievable. And then man comes on... we've had the conversation about... we had it before the programme. In the last, certainly 10 years, if not 20, the world of making things has been sped up by the use of computers. Now, unfortunately, I do have some sympathy with some of the people that used to use older skills because they've had to retrain, if they wanted to, into computer worlds. Because there is no need for the bloke to stick a picture on the bit of paper in the passport anymore with a Pritt stick and stick the thingy over it.
What'd you call him?
Pritt.
Oh. Sorry.
He's like a Brit, but with a P.
Yes. And, you know, the old ways of printing it all off, sticking it all together, yada, 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 is done by a computer.
I just see what you mean, though.
Thank you. Anyway, so man comes on the telly yesterday, as Jan and I were watching the television, doing some research, and he says, the reason why the passport delays has happened is over the last 10 years, staff have been cut back.
Yeah.
And we both said rude words, which I can't repeat, and I'm just thinking, you know, even when I started in radio, there was tape.
Which was before radio was invented.
There was tape.
Actually, there was tape when I started too.
Yeah, horrible stuff.
Really awful.
Really awful
really
stuff.
Really tricky.
Where is the bit I've just dropped on the floor, which is the bit where Lee says, I want to give you £1 million, and you search all over the floor and you can't find it?
No, you can't.
That's tape. It's awful. So to make one program, you ended up with XYZ person, plus, 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 and the people that were actually making the program, like us now, is the three, and you'd probably have 10 or 12 people behind that, just to get it to the customers, the listeners. Yeah. You don't do that anymore. It's gone. It's finito. Computers have made passports quicker. So it's illogical to say that because of staff cuts over the last 10 years, there's a backlog of 500,000 applicants. No, there isn't.
But this is a union that's claiming this, isn't it?
Doesn't matter who it is.
No. I mean, it is. It's a union that's claiming that it's cutbacks, whereas what you're saying is quite right. The reality of it is, it's cutbacks, actually.
Why?
I don't know. I don't understand it now. Why is this problem with passports, based on what you just said?
Well, he says, in the last 10 years, there have been staff cuts.
Yeah, but why? What's you're saying that's wrong?
No, what I'm saying is, it should have happened anyway, because the computer technology that we're using today to make passports...
is faster.
Is so much faster, you don't need all the same people you had 10 years ago.
So I placed before you the same question. What is the problem, then?
Well, it's going to be human, isn't it, as normal with computers.
Whoever said it's the union bloke who said it's because of the fact of cutbacks was 100% right.
No, he was on about human resources cutbacks.
That's human resources of people.
Do you know what?
I'll tell you something really, really, really interesting about British people in Australia getting their passports renewed.
Yes.
If they make the application and it is 9, maybe 10 weeks before they see their passport.
Yeah, that's normal.
Is that through doing it through Australia or sending it across the Britain? Because my daughter's in exactly the same position. She's now trapped in Australia without her passport because she sent it to Britain.
Yeah, but that's what you do. I'm the same, Lee. I am currently without passport.
Well, that job I go to during the day at that place I go to.
Yes.
We handle all of the British passports.
Yes.
Do you?
Yes. And
in fact, I think you do that globally, don't you?
We do.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that come and collect, there are two shipments. One is your old passport, one is your new passport.
Yes.
They send them separately because that's the sensible, secure thing to do. But quite often the people that come to see me to collect, they say, I applied for this 9, 10, 11, 12 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to be taking an age for them to produce these passports. No, they don't. They don't at all. They blame the passport office.
Oh, that's all right then.
But they said it's ridiculous that with the technology these days that it takes such a long time for them to produce it.
I agree.
I am so sorry, but as a journalist, I still don't understand this story based on the tenets of the argument that Mr. Wiltshire put forward.
Rachel just put the same argument forward.
I know, that's why I still don't understand it, because if it's down to cutbacks, the modern technology aspect of it has nothing to do with it. It's down to the fact that jobs have been cut and the unions are quite right. If they put more people to use the new technology, then they wouldn't have this problem.
Right, okay, let's make it simple.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You are so patronising.
You have 10 people working in the office 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You get two computers which replace 4 people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How many people do you really need in the office?
Don't know.
6.
Oh, yeah, that's that mass thing that we don't do well.
Yeah, no, that's a mute point. You might not need 6, you might need 10. And that's the point this union bloke is making, that the cutbacks have been too high.
All right, I'll try another one. We'll try another analogy. Well, years ago, I would have to take some text on paper to a shop and get it printed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, when I went, I haven't printed off me invite to go and see the prez, I just walked across the office and went, zoop, turned the machine on, and it printed it.
Yes, but he still doesn't explain why you're saying it's not down to cutbacks in staff.
Well, that's the same deal. I don't need to go. The people that I used to have to pay money to get something printed, I no longer need them.
So what is the problem at the passport control, then?
I don't know.
Oh, maybe they're taking longer lunches.
Could be.
Maybe they
might be. Might be a community outreach program, and they're getting the dull-witted to do it.
Mm. And if they're earning £70 an hour, then they're making it last as long as they possibly can.
I rest my case too.
We've solved it, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and anybody else.
No, we've just put some Lee logic onto it, which is illogical to the rest of the world. next one comes up. I love this. Speeding confuses motorists. The NCP car park in the beautiful city of Cambridge decided to put an I in the middle of minutes, but in the wrong place.
Which made it a minuet, didn't it?
It made it a dance, yes. You're absolutely right. And so they had a great idea. They left it like that for a couple of years. And rather than redo the whole sign, some bloke went out with a brand new pot of paint and painted over the eye, which you can still see because it's new black paint.
Aye, aye.
Aye, aye. So where is the logic in that? Somebody pray tell me.
Well, there isn't. This is councils for you, isn't it? This is the way councils operate. You see, going back to this Brian computer and we're saying that, you know, I was saying quite outrageously, I'm sure, that children are not very intelligent. Well, unintelligent children grow into unintelligent adults.
Wait.
And lots of the unintelligent adults go and work for the council.
Oh, no! Oh no!
Hate mail to Lee G. Banks.
Absolutely. Have you changed your name to Clarkson? Anyway, you're not entitled to do that. I am now. I'm entitled to be, I think, a grumpy old git. But I'm not going to be.
I just with an eye in the middle.
Yeah, probably. I just, NCP, you numpties. So there's been a big spat about British values, all because of some checks that were done by the schools inspector in the UK into fundamentalists allegedly sort of taking over Muslim schools, or actually academies, as one young man put it on an interview on television. I'm not in a Muslim school, I'm in an academy.
A Muslim academy?
No, it wasn't. It's just an academy. And so this has all got into... It's the only time where the PC in the UK seems to have gone out the window recently. But anyway, we turn to the tweet.
It's saying to you, for the last 3 months, we have been... England, shamefully, has become a racist nation. And this is part of it. It's raising its ugly head everywhere.
Why?
Because Britain, like Australia, actually, has had this latent racism, which has been pressed down by the politically correct society. And quite rightly, it should be quashed, but it's never been killed off. And because of the immigration into Britain and everything, the racism started to rear its ugly head again. And this, again, is an example of it. The simple fact is that people are forgetting is that within the British schools, the edict is that we should show our children the basics of all religion. And that's what we should be doing.
But they weren't doing it. The fundamentalists were not doing it.
No, they weren't, that's right.
So are they then the racists?
They were standing up for their rights and
No, hang on. One minute, there's a bunch of racists, which are the indigenous population of England.
Yeah.
Then you have the next generation or those that have just come in, whichever way around you want to look at it. And they say this is what we teach in schools, which is not what most would classify as the British way. So are they now the racists or are the indigenous population racist? Which one?
Well, I see your point. I hesitate to say that there is proof of the indigenous population in the UK having adopted racist attitudes. Very simply, look at Nigel Farage, who I didn't call Nicholas that time, and the UKIP party and how they are surviving. Mm-hmm. That shows an indigenous change.
A minority.
Sea change. Well, it's not really a minority when you think. And if you do actually go to the pubs in the UK, the tone of the conversation is absolutely shameful. Mm. And one thing, if you ask a racist, if you hear racist comments being made, ladies and gentlemen, ask the racist one question, and that is, why are you racist? Up until a few, well, say 3 years ago, they couldn't answer that question. Now they've got an answer to it, and we have placed that answer in the hands of the racists. It is so sad.
But do you think then that, for example, I'm in Slovakia, as we all know, and my attitude is, I've moved to Slovakia, I have to respect the laws and the values of Slovakia. I don't. Yeah. I cannot and should not push my English values on to another country. So am I wrong as well?
No, you're not wrong at all. You've adopted the ways of Slovakia, which is a good thing. But it doesn't mean that you have to actually lose your own values and perhaps even lose your own religion. There is no reason for you to...
Binds
society, isn't it?
No, you can do that in Slovakia. If you want to go to... And I know some people do, they go to a Church of England church. Yeah. It's actually a hall, but it makes no difference. So they can do that. They have that, but they couldn't teach those values in a Slovak school because they just wouldn't be allowed.
But that's not the way the British constitution is.
Coming from Australia, I have a lot of friends due to the radio stuff. Mm. I have a lot of friends on Facebook. A good portion of them are from the UK. And I see every day at least four or five posts of women in burqas with horrendous slogans attached to these pictures.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that is hardcore, you guys. That's hardcore. I don't say anything. Yeah. I don't comment on them. I don't judge people for their views. I observe, and I think that is really very hardcore. And I think to myself, I get a sense of when I read them, as I go past them, I get a sense of just of hatred and intolerance and all this yucky stuff that in this day and age seems very foreign to me.
Well, the answer, I'll sit on the fence for you. On one side, I have no problem whatsoever with a woman wearing a burqa. None whatsoever. As long as she chooses to wear it and is not instructed to wear it.
Yeah.
If she's instructed to wear it, then she shouldn't.
Yeah.
I can see your point.
That's a basic right of any human being.
Oh, it's a basic human right. Yeah, I agree with you. Mm. But there is also, you have to then take into consideration the whole of the cultural values of the country that woman was brought up in, all the people who
I agree with you. If it is that you are in Slovakia, you don't expect the English national anthem to be played at every event that you go to. In the same way, you shouldn't expect the national anthem, the national clothing, or the national values of a country tens of thousands of kilometres away to be the new value in another country that you wish to adopt. And if you wish to adopt it.
It's not a presiding value, though, is it? It's just a value, a multicultural value, and as such, you need it. There's an interesting point here made by an MEP, Daniel Hannah.
That was good.
And the point he makes is very simple. British values. Parliamentary supremacy. British values are parliamentary supremacy. I'm not sure I actually agree with that.
Is a voting thing. So I applaud that.
It is. It's a principle, and you're right. And I rescind what I've just said. It is a proper principle and a strong principle. Mm-hmm. Free speech,
agreed,
which I agree with 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Religious pluralism.
Yes.
Now, that's exactly what we're talking about. Britain should accept religious pluralism, which is...
That's normally my problem.
Which
yes,
is a value. It is a value.
But not detracting from the fact...
That's what we're arguing about now.
Not detracting from the fact that the UK's head of state is also the head of the Church of England.
Yeah.
Mm.
And you have to respect the lady because she's the boss.
Mm-hmm. Of course you do, and that's where pluralism comes into it.
Yep, and the next bit?
Liberty.
No, you've missed some out.
Sanctity. Well, I did, because I thought liberty tied in with pluralism.
All right. Sanctity of contract, very much agreed.
Yep.
My home is my castle, very much agreed. Mm-hmm. Liberty, not so hard.
No.
It isn't hard to actually put those values down. And, you know, one of the key things here, and I think it's very much more along the lines of the female part of the planet, you know, there are so many girls out there that do not have free speech, and that annoys me.
Mm. They're oppressed in many of those, and that's... they come with their families. And you hear these terrible stories about these women who try and escape... once they arrive in places like the UK, they try and escape that family, and they try and flee. Mm. They're lured to another nation, like that young Indian girl who was lured to another nation.
Yes,
back to her home country, and was murdered and dumped in a river somewhere. Mm. I mean, the this is where I have a problem. If you want to, your religion is your own business.
Yes.
And if wearing a burqa is part of your religion, that is your choice.
And you're happy wearing it.
And you're happy wearing it, then that is your right to do so.
Yes.
However, if you are oppressed, and this is, and then when they start to impose their own laws above those of the nation that they are residing in,
mm-hmm.
that's where I have a problem.
Me too.
You have to abide by the laws of the land. When in Rome, do as Romans do.
You can't
have your own set of laws.
No.
In another nation where the laws are very clear, because as part of living in that country, you have agreed to abide by those laws.
Correct.
You can't have it both ways.
By definition, you chose to move there, therefore you choose to take the laws of that country. End of debate.
Right.
But not lose your own individual thoughts.
You don't have to. No, absolutely not.
Exactly.
No, absolutely right. Let's move on. It's my birthday, but some parts of the world still. We're being all serious.
He told us off for not being serious before, didn't he, Rach?
He really did.
I think it's awkward.
Have I given you some of my bipolar or something? What's up with that? I've got a book you can read about that.
I knew she was going to say that. Australian slang is being influenced from abroad. Now, does that mean that postcard from Pot Brad is starting to influence? And I have to say the answer is yes. Because how many times do you hear the young Rachel rant like the old Brit Lee Banks?
Yeah, get your own rant. Yeah, Aussie.
Well, I do. I mean, you know, it says in this article, the underlying principle of speaking the lingo down under seems to be, and I've told you this before, we shorten every word because it's hot and we're lazy.
Yes.
when in doubt, shorten it. Afternoon, arvo. Journalist, journo.
I can get journo, but I can't get arvo.
Arvo, yeah.
But people say that in England now.
What do you do on Saturday arvo, mate? Go to the footy?
But they do that in English now.
Yeah, but Rachel, I have to take you to task on this.
Mm. Oh, look, all right.
Here's the Australian word for a dope, an idiot. It's drongo. Drongo is longer than dope.
Yes.
Yeah, but it sounds better.
Yes.
No, it sounds better. But it sounds better. And a polywaffle. You know, well, let's not get into that.
Do you use the term waft?
Waft?
No.
Oh,
yes, I do. I do. I actually use the term waft am.
Ah, yes. Now, we are going to just clarify this for purposes of good broadcasting. Waste of flipping time. Waft.
And then I add and money.
Ah.
That's like LOL, lol.
Yes.
That's not an Australian word thing.
Okay, well let's move on.
What is the Australian word, the description of happy?
Stoked.
It's not, it's grinning like a shot fox.
No, it's not. I've never heard that in my life.
That's because you live in Darwin. You've not evolved.
Excuse me, I have to take you to task.
No, you are under-evolved because you're in Darwin.
No, I became under-evolved. I devolved when I was
growing up. Anyway, listen, we're going to move on because we haven't got long to go. I was going to tell you the story about how Tesco's upset me. But
this is a good story.
But I'm going to save it till next week in case they bother to reply to me again.
Oh, that's how good he thinks it is, Rachel.
Because
he's saving it because he doesn't think he's got enough time.
The basic thing was I walked into Tesco's to find some food from Iran.
So he's going to tell us now.
And I wasn't very happy about it. And they sent me, of all people, an email back with the front end full of PR puff.
Oh, that was a mistake.
Like puff paste.
I don't know who they're dealing with.
No. And then the
what a bunch of drongos.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So then this geezer, he gave me a sentence at the end, which was lovely. We will continue to monitor the situation in Iran closely and support the efforts of our farmers and their families. So I've sent an email back to Tesco's going, how do you plan to monitor the families and their the farmers and their families? Will you be checking their human rights are not being violated? Will you ensure all members of the family have equal rights? Will you ensure all members of the family have the right to a full education? And will you ensure a member of Tesco is allowed to visit the farm to validate the above? I am still waiting for an answer, Tesco's.
Mm.
I bet I ain't going to get one.
I don't. No. I think you should. And I tell you what we should do is also, you carry on with that, and I'll approach Tesco's in England. I'll approach the head office and see what they've got to say.
Yes, I'll send you... I'll send you the picture. We crank on. Is this the slippery slide for newspapers speeding up?
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, because Lee sent me this thing going, oh, look, newspapers are so popular online. And when I looked at the survey, I went, They are not.
In Australia, particularly Sir Rupert Murdoch's newspapers,
yes.
He lets you read an article and then says, if you wish to read further, you must subscribe and what's your credit card details, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
Which I think is a little bit hilarious. I've got to tell you, just on a quick side note, you guys, our wingnut Tony Abbott went and had dinner with him the other night because he's in the States, but he was in Canada a few days before that.
That's right.
And he said, I love Canada. And I just about shot myself in the head.
Do you want the bit from Sky News that you probably didn't get in Australia?
Oh, please.
It was the day that President Obama was answering questions on whether they should get involved in Iraq again. So President Obama answers the question, about 2 minutes long, mm-hmm. And just as Tony Abbott went, they turned him off.
Good. Bravo.
He turned him off, people. You know that first half of the first letter that's coming out of your mouth? That's all we heard, and it just cut back to the studio. That's how important Tony Abbott is to the United Kingdom. Anyway, the results are that the top online news brands used every week in the UK are, and if you've got a calculator handy, try this one out. The BBC is 47%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In second place is a newspaper, the Mail
Online,
at 14%. Then you have Sky News at 12%, Yahoo at 9%, a newspaper again, Guardian Online at 9%, the Huffington Post, which is not the traditional newspaper, 9%, and then Local Press, which Lee and I do absolutely adore.
I do. I think the Local Press is a load of rubbish. Local newspapers should be banned. They should all be put up against the wall and shot. Local newspapers are the denigration of journalism.
They get 7%.
I get the BBC, I get the Mail Online, I get Sky News, and I get the Huffington Post.
Right.
Yeah.
And the Guardian. I don't get Yahoo.
No.
Yeah. Listen, let me just say what's happened here, because Mr. Wiltshire has been goading me over this all day. And the simple fact is that newspapers, right, were quite tardy in coming forward.
Rubbish.
And the internet age. The first news website was actually set up in 1995. Or was it 1991, Mr. Wiltshire?
1992.
That is where it's one of them.
So newspapers have known about websites since 1992. They've cranked up to their highest one is 14%. They are not doing very well, are they?
Listen, because
they do well here because we can't get access to it any other way. We can't get hugged.
But the thing is, the Sun newspaper, which is charged for, isn't in the list at all.
Well, no, but that's because, and listen, why shouldn't newspapers charge for the information they put online?
None whatsoever, but that's their choice, and we've got to go because that's the end of the programme. Say goodbye, Rach.
Goodbye, Rach.
Goodbye, Lee.
All right, me and Rach are bailing out.
See you later, boys and girls. Take care. Have a good week till next week. Bye-bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.